This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, we'll talk about earth-friendly packaging. But up first, it's been 2 weeks of very public and very eyebrow-raising episodes involving science and politics. An ex-Surgeon General testified that the Bush administration silenced him from speaking about sensitive public health issues. And yesterday, his sentiment prompted the nominated Surgeon General to say he would resign before letting politics dictate science. These events on Capitol Hill blew in on the tailwinds of a storm at the National Hurricane Center in Florida, where the director was forced to resign this week after an open rebellion by his staff. Here to help us sort through the intricacies of these events is Chris Mooney, science writer who has authored two books about science and politics. The latest is Storm World, Hurricanes, Politics, and the Battle over Global Warming. He is Seed Magazine's Washington correspondent and joins us from Florida. Hi, welcome back to the show, Chris.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, you're in Florida. Let's talk about the Florida story first.
Okay.
What happened down there?
Some are calling it kind of the Kane Mutiny. Bill Proenza came in, and he was quickly very outspoken as the new director for the National Hurricane Center and seemed actually heroic in his willingness to challenge his superiors about lack of investment in funding for hurricane research. But it turned out, we didn't know at first, that a lot of the senior forecasters disagreed with one of the particular arguments he was making about priorities for research, and they claimed that Proenza was exaggerating the importance of a satellite, that they actually didn't need as much for forecasting landfalling storms accurately, and they claimed that in so doing, Proenza was undermining public faith in their ability to forecast. So in essence, you could say they mutinied. About half the staff endorsed a statement saying he had to leave, and that pretty much made it impossible for him to continue.
How do you alienate half the staff in so brief a period?
Well, we don't know exactly what was going on inside of that office, and you have to figure or assume that at least some of this was friction between people. And there's some quotes from some of the forecasters in the Miami Herald suggesting that that may well have been the case. One quote from Richard Posch, who's a forecaster at the National Hurricane Center, saying of Proenza, "I don't see the concept of a team player." Yeah. So it may not have just been this scientific issue over the satellite and how important it is to forecast. It might have been something going on interpersonally as well, but it's hard to speculate on that.
Let's talk about that satellite issue for people who hadn't heard about it. He basically was complaining that the satellite was not being built and was going to upset the accuracy of hurricane predictions?
Yeah, it's a satellite known as QuickSat, and it's aging, languishing, without a replacement being built. And what this satellite does is it measures the winds of hurricanes and other kinds of winds over the distant oceans, both their speed and their direction. And Proenza argued that if there wasn't a replacement and we lose this satellite, then the accuracy of forecasts for storms would decrease 10% for the two-day forecast, 16% for three-day forecast. The forecasters disagreed. They said that QuickSat's very important for getting information about storms out to sea, but once they get closer to the U.S. coast, we have a lot of other sources of data on them, and particularly hurricane hunter flights or the reconnaissance aircraft, which gather great data and which are central to forecasting. So they said that losing QuickSat, that would be bad, but it wouldn't undermine the accuracy of their forecasts. And in fact, the forecasts have been getting more accurate over time.
So he was forced to step down.
Well, he was put on leave.
And so he's not being replaced then.
Well, the deputy director of the Hurricane Center is now the interim director, Ed Rappaport, who's been there for a long time.
So things are you know, coming on the heels of another scandal that was going on down there, right? Just the second one to hit the National Hurricane Center.
Well, you know, this is the second major fight in the small, relatively small community of hurricane scientists, and it's unfortunate there's been so much divisiveness in such a short period of time. I would argue that the first major fight is over the relationship between hurricanes and global warming, and that really divided the community, and this is sort of episode two in the hurricane wars.
Has that weeded itself out yet?
No, actually, episode one, the hurricane global warming battle, is still not over. But episode two has quickly surged ahead of it because we're on the verge of hurricane season here. We're in hurricane season, but we're in the verge of the peak months, August, September, October. And everyone wants to know and have confidence that the Hurricane Center is functioning properly. So that's why this issue surged to the front of the news.
Is there any mark of the Bush administration on the Proenza dismissal, or is it just his being in power?
Well, it's a conflict between two groups of scientists rather than politicians versus scientists. It's Proenza on the one hand and a lot of the senior forecasters at the center disagreeing with him and the staff disagreeing with him. That said, it's clear that the fallout was kind of sparked by an investigation from the superiors at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I think it kind of ignited the situation.
That brings us to the ex-Surgeon General Richard Carmona, who was versed in science, but telling Congress that he struggled with the administration who didn't want to hear it, the truth.
Absolutely. And, you know, Richard Carmona, as Surgeon General, we've heard these kind of stories from many other scientists from the Bush administration, but when the nation's top doctor and top public health educator goes on the record in such a strong way, it really gets everyone's attention. I mean, it's arguable that he's the most prominent figure yet to make what others have made, the claim that there is some kind of, quote, war on science, or Al Gore would call it assault on reason, being perpetuated by the Bush administration. And now to hear it from him really caught everybody's notice.
And is it the timing? He's no longer Surgeon General. Is it the timing that makes it so newsworthy?
I think it's the timing combined with the forcefulness of the statements. He stood up there and he really said in no uncertain terms that it had never been this bad for a Surgeon General. Mm-hmm. So it's both of those factors, and it's also the prominence of the Surgeon General. In fact, the committee hearing that he testified in was about trying to make the Surgeon General more independent of political oversight, but nevertheless, the office does have incredible symbolic resonance.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, but there were other Surgeon Generals on the stand this week. You had C. Everett Koop under Reagan, David Satcher under Clinton. They both said politics dictated their runs as Surgeon General. Why aren't people as mad at the Clinton and Reagan administrations as they are with the Bush camp after the Carmona testimony?
Well, to some extent, they should be, but Carmona also said in his testimony that he had talked to all the previous Surgeon Generals, and he said they all agreed with him that while they had had problems, it was nothing comparing to the magnitude of the problems that Carmona had faced. Carmona had said he had been blocked in terms of talking about it, about embryonic stem cell research, about mm-hmm. emergency contraception, sex ed, mental health, secondhand smoke, a whole array of issues. So he claims it's worse, and apparently they agree with him. Well, that's not to say that politics hasn't run up against science before. This definitely does happen.
And I always wonder why they wait until after they're not in power to make these statements, you know?
Well, some of them don't, right? C. Everett Koop was very outspoken while in office, and he certainly earned the ire of many in the Reagan administration. They did not want him speaking out about AIDS, sex ed, condoms, all of these sorts of things, and he did so anyway. You know, it might just be that Carmona has a different style. When he was testifying before Congress this week, he said he got into Washington really politically naive. He wasn't even sure at first that this was outrageous behavior or abnormal behavior. He had to talk to other Surgeon Generals and sort of assess what their experiences were. It might just be different temperaments.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Carmona testimony before the House committee was bound to get press, but was there any way that the Hurricane Center shenanigans could have been settled internally?
You know, I don't know, because a lot of people didn't really realize how much there was sort of apparent smoldering discontent at that center until it all kind of exploded. So I guess if there had been someone monitoring and mediating behind the scenes, that might have helped. But it all kind of took us by surprise, so I don't think there was anyone trying to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, with NASA and global warming and the Hurricane Center and FEMA and the Surgeon General, it feels like you're constantly hearing more and more federal agency affairs being thrust in the public eye, and the blatancy of these political agendas are just being uncovered.
Yeah, you know, I think it's partly the Bush administration, its record on the integrity of science issues has been exposed as very problematic again and again and again. People like NASA's James Hansen have spoken out about it. Richard Carmona is just the latest in a long line of people. But there's something else going on here, too, which is that scientific information, which the federal agencies often specialize in, is so incredibly relevant to policy that it keeps getting pulled into political fights. And then you have scientists coming out and saying somebody twisted the data because there's such a strong incentive to do so politically at this time.
Mm-hmm. Does this battle, as you call it, Hurricane Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Forecasters, is this going to affect the center's ability to lead us through the hurricane season? Should the public still have full faith in the National Hurricane Center's ability to come together and predict storms accurately?
Yeah, these are the best forecasters in the world, the people who work at the National Hurricane Center. They're really national heroes. I mean, these are the guys who forecast very accurately Katrina's track days in advance, giving everybody else plenty of time to prepare. And so we should have confidence in them. We want them to be working in a good work environment, and that needs to be restored, so we need a quick detente and a quick resolution. Proenza has been put on leave. I think that was what had to happen, given the high-profile criticism of him, because we needed everyone on the same page going into the season.
Let's go to the phones. I see we have Micah Haltern on the phone. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I'm working with the Union of Concerned Scientists on this issue, and I think it's important to point out that the Republican Congress didn't really hold any oversight hearings into political interference in science, so we haven't seen that until this year. It's also important to note that the truth is that when federal government scientists are heard from, or when they're asked to compromise their integrity, it's not easy for them to speak up. Whistleblower protections currently do not protect scientists, and they risk their jobs when they do so.
Now you could be protected as a Surgeon General, one would think.
Generally, a lot of these scientists come forward and say, I can be very effective in what I do. I can be, at least I'm 75% effective in the role that I'm playing right now. And if someone else comes along, they might be even more easily manipulated and distorted. So, we find that scientists are staying in federal agencies and staying in their positions and trying to do the best they can.
All right. Thanks for calling. Any final comments?
Well, I would just say that that's definitely right. Henry Waxman has been holding investigations and we're airing a lot more of the abuses about misuse of science. I think the Surgeon General, if he stands up and speaks out, it's pretty hard for the administration to fire him, though.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck. Chris Mooney is the author of Storm World, Hurricanes, Politics, and the Battle Over Global Warming, just out from Harcourt. He's the Washington correspondent for Seed Magazine. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about green packaging. Well, last week we saw, we had all this music talking about what you can do to save the earth. Well, what are you doing? How about green packaging? Maybe you're recycling more. Maybe you're thinking about what choice should I make between paper and plastic? Well, for the next rest of the hour, we're going to talk about helping you make those choices, talk about some new products. There's so much packaging going out there. What kinds of new products do we have that are being developed and are thought about by packaging companies? We're going to talk to some people across the pond over in Europe where, green has been at the top of the list on people's minds for a long time. They have already developed all kinds of new kinds of packaging. We'll get some expertise from them. We'll talk about how even cities are taking the lead in banning water bottles. Some of the city councils around the country, you can't drink a bottle of water anymore. Is that a good idea? We'll talk about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.